What's up, everybody? Welcome back to In My Non-Expert Opinion. I'm your host, Chelsea Reif, and I'm also a podcast strategist and help people launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts. Today is a super special solo episode, as it's something that I did not realize so many of you wanted to learn about, and that is making and maintaining friendships. So I did not realize this, honestly, until the last 6 months, but I have a lot of friends. And I don't mean to say that to sound like braggadocious or arrogant or like I'm better than anybody. It's truly just because I insert myself in so many different networks and meet so many people that I think traveling has also given me this skill of like being able to chameleon and be in any room and talk to anybody. And because of that, I made a lot of connections. So even recently in London, I used to only know a few people here. And this time, I had to actually say no to seeing people because I genuinely did not have the time or energy or mental capacity to socialize that much. Now, as I'm recording this, again, I feel like it can maybe sound arrogant of like, oh, I just didn't have the time to meet with people that wanted to meet with me. But I genuinely, like, I have work to do. I have a podcast. I was already meeting with other people. I had a launch going on. I was teaching a workshop. Like, I genuinely did not have the time in the day to meet every single person that I knew here. And that prompted me to think about, how do you even know all these people here? Like, you don't live in London. You haven't been here in a year. And when I zoomed out and thought about it, I was like, oh, it's because of all these different networks you've been part of and all the countries you've lived in and all the friends you've made and the fact that you do keep up with people that it only makes sense to reach out and meet up with them. It wasn't until recently when I started talking to a lot of successful people like coaches and big podcasters and people that I've just been able to interview on the podcast recently, a lot of them have admitted, like, I don't have a lot of friends, or my friend circle is really small, or I don't even have time to meet up with friends. You know, I would love to be able to go out and have friends, but I don't. And to me, that was shocking because relationships are such a foundational part of my life. And the more and more I read about human existence and why we're here and how we all relate to each other, it's through relationships, whether that is friendship or romantic or just a connection online. We're built to be a communal species. We're not meant to just live alone in the woods for the rest of our life and not communicate with any other person ever. So it started to occur to me that, oh, wow, I do actually highly value my friendships. I highly value meeting up with people when I'm in the same city if I can. And yeah, it just occurred to me that friendships and relationships are like the lifeline of my life. It's why I prioritize leisure so I can hang out with my friends or do something fun. I've talked about this in another podcast called How to Live Every Day Like Your Birthday. That was like back earlier in the year. And I mentioned how I create space in my calendar to have fun. And I know that sounds like, oh, lucky you, like you get to just have fun. And I'm like, no, no, no. The same way I schedule a dentist appointment to be able to see if my teeth are clean and not rotting and have cavities from all the chocolate that I'm eating, to the same way that I schedule a workout and I don't miss it, that is exactly how I treat my social and leisurely commitments. If anything, I plug those into my calendar first and then make my schedule work around it. Now, that is a place I had to get really confident and comfortable after a lot of trial and error, and by the way, get my finances in order. So this is probably a whole separate podcast, but just mini lesson is I took on less clients at a higher price point that are all on monthly payment plans. So I have monthly recurring revenue where if I don't even launch anything, I don't have to worry because I know I have X amount of dollars coming in that can keep me afloat, cover my expenses, have a little extra for spending, saving, etc. So that's number one, right, is that I'm able to do this because of how I set up my business model. However, even when I wasn't making a lot of money or able to even really cover my rent, which was pretty basic, I still prioritized free time and meeting up with people. While I do love my alone time and I'm definitely introverted as I get older, that doesn't mean that I don't love my friends. And so you will never catch me for like 12 months just not speaking to anybody or not doing anything social or not engaging with my friends. Because again, it's like, for me, this is my viewpoint, right? For me, it's like, what's the point of having free time if I'm not going to use it to enjoy my life and hang out with people that make my life more enjoyable, which are my friendships? So if you're like, okay, yeah, I want to prioritize my friendships too, and I just want to learn how to make friends as an adult. You know, I have a 9-to-5 or a job that just doesn't allow me to get out there and make friends. I'm not that social. I may be more introverted, so I don't really want to go out to networking events and make friends. It can be hard when you're an adult and you're stuck in your ways and your routines. And again, you don't have the same free time you did as a child. So that's what I'm going to talk about today, is how to make friends as an adult and especially maintain those friendships. The first one is online communities. I know all my introverts right now are like, woo, yes, I don't have to get out of bed and I don't have to talk to anybody. Online communities are how I stayed sane during the pandemic, especially during Germany lockdown. That's where I lived during most of the pandemic. And we were on a very strict lockdown where we literally could only go to the grocery store and go outside for walks. No clothing stores open, no restaurants open, no nothing. There was no entertainment, absolutely nothing open. And I was living with my ex at the time in a country where I did not speak the language. Not only did I not speak the language, we lived with five other roommates who were also German who barely spoke English. I hadn't even started podcast coaching yet. I was doing more like life and mindset coaching. And the emotional toil of that was really taking over me, because what I was helping people with were so many different things, from body image stuff to anxiety to money to self-confidence. And I was going through so many things myself. It was just so overwhelming that I did not even have the energy to go meet like my boyfriend at the time's friends. So he would invite me to things and be like, oh, you should meet my friends and da da da. I was just like, I'm not doing that. Also, by the way, we had an age gap. I was 8 years older than him. And I was like, sorry, I don't want to hang out with like the younger girls that could literally be my little sister, even though I'm dating you. Made no sense. Riddle me that. And so online communities are where I found a lot of friends. Now, keep in mind, I have also been friends with people since I was in elementary school that we are still in touch today. I do think if you're from a small town, that tends to happen. If you went to the same like elementary school, middle school, and high school, if you had good friends, you stay in touch with them. I don't know if I'm wrong, please tell me. But that's how it worked in my hometown. A lot of us that went to high school together are still in touch. So that's one, what would keep me sane is like the group chats and the WhatsApp groups that we had going. And then I was like, okay, I need some like stimulation, some new friends. I need to just see if there's other like-minded people out there that also have their own business and are maybe traveling. Because for me, that was missing in a lot of my friendships, is they couldn't relate to that side of me. They either had a 9-to-5 or they didn't travel in the capacity that I did. And I was like, I really want friends that just get it. So I made a lot of friends in memberships that I was in. I was in the North Node by Holisticism. I'm in The Study, which is Lexi Merritt's community, pretty decent. I'm still in that, by the way, and I've met a lot of amazing people, including my podcast editor in there. And also just free communities. I'm in a lot of Slack channels. I'm in a lot of Discords, WhatsApp groups. When I went to Mexico City, I was part of this WhatsApp group that was called like CDMX Wellness or something. I need to look up the exact name, but it was something like that. And it was a bunch of like-minded people focused on wellness events, which is why I did so many wellness things when I was in Mexico City. So putting myself in online communities where you have the choice to actually opt in what you want to be part of, that is huge, because you're honestly eliminating all the social anxiety that comes when you meet someone out at a party or at dinner or something, right? When you meet someone that is just out in the wild, so to speak, you can't really like study them and stalk them and see what's going on. But when you're joining an online membership, you're like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and make a pretty logical assumption that anyone joining this specific community aligns with the members that are in the community's values, their belief systems. They have a similar goal. That's, by the way, what communities are, is a bunch of people working together towards like the same vision or goal. So when I join online memberships, that's something that I try to sift out, being like, what is the goal here? Like, what is the community working towards? And joining those specific memberships helped me make so many new friends. I've met people from these memberships in real life. I started working with one of them. That person I work with is now Serene. Serene and I now talk literally every single day. She's who I stayed with in New York. It's been insane, to be honest, like the amount of amazing relationships that have come from being on online communities. So that's the first thing I would say, is go seek out some memberships that you want to be part of. If you don't want to pay for that right now, right, because some of these are costing money, then go to their free communities. A lot of people have free Slack channels, free hubs. I know both Holisticism and Pretty Decent do. I'm also a part of the Remote Year community. They have a hub, and Remote Year is a bunch of remote workers that travel all the time and are full of digital nomads. So going back to the lifestyle I wanted, where I was like, I really want to just bop around and kind of live a chaotic life for a little bit, traveling all over and feeling crazy for doing that, especially coming from such a small town, finding people that also did that inside the Remote Year community helped me so much. So go get your laptop, go get your phone. You can literally just Google like free blank blank community, right? Free witchy community, free writing community, free digital nomad communities, and see what pops up. That's another thing, by the way. I'm also in a bunch of like free writing circles that are accountability. And that's how I've met a lot of people, is just through those sessions. And the same people go every week, and you just start to develop these online friendships. And then you move to the DMs on Instagram, and all of a sudden you're in the same city and you're like, oh, let's meet up. That's happened so many times to me in the last year. Now, speaking of travel and groups, I would highly recommend looking into in-person groups that you can be part of. So this does not need to be travel. This could be your local workout class, like your local yoga Pilates studio. This could be a pottery class you go to every single Monday, or like a cacao ceremony that happens once a month. Those are things I used to do when I wasn't as into my business. I did a lot of like spiritual and health and wellness things, and I met so many people through these events. I would go to the same classes with the same instructors. I would go to the same cafes. I would go to a lot of networking events, and that's how I met people. And genuinely, you have to remember, people are usually just as nervous to say hi as you are. And so if you just say hi and break the ice, you can get pretty far. What I love about doing a networking event or joining some type of like travel group or something like that is that it goes back to the same concept as the online community. It's a bunch of like-minded people working towards or believing at least in the same concepts, beliefs, viewpoints, whatever it is. So Remote Year, I knew, was going to be full of a bunch of digital nomads that probably would keep traveling and living that digital nomad lifestyle. That's one area of my life before I met a bunch of people that did this that I felt very isolated in. There are pretty much no people from my hometown that live at this pace or lifestyle that I do. And because of that, I started to believe, you know what, maybe this is just something you're going to do by yourself for the rest of your life, and it's just going to be a solo thing. However, when I found Remote Year, and by the way, realized there are other companies like this, there's Hackers Paradise, there's Wi-Fi Tribe, there's also people that just do local retreats. There's so many ways to meet people like this. But when I found that community, I was like, oh my God, all these people value travel the same way I do. Like, they're just willing to pick up and go to Asia next year. Or you're telling me if I invited them all to my birthday in Cape Town, at least three of them would come? Like, that's crazy. I truly did not know people lived like that. I thought I was like one in a million. LOL, so American of me. Think I'm so special. And I didn't think a lot of people did that. And so when I met that community, it truly unlocked so many opportunities for me. And that's actually how I ended up traveling the rest of the year. When I went back to Cape Town, I didn't feel nervous or uncomfortable because pretty much, I think five people that I had already met lived there. They went back too. And then when I went to other countries, I just met more and more like-minded digital nomads. We stayed in touch. So then when I went to Mexico City and I needed a place to stay, I ended up rooming with someone that was from my trip. And then when she left, I ended up rooming with someone that I met in Colombia. And then move forward, when I went to New York City, the people I was hanging out with most were people from that Remote Year trip and all the people that I had met throughout the year. So funny enough, that's still what's going on. The girls I'm traveling with in London are from Remote Year. Where I'm going to in October is another girl from Remote Year. So I had no idea that that one trip and even being part of that community was going to basically change the trajectory of my year and, to be honest, probably life, because it showed me what's possible. You don't always need to have every step figured out, right? Just go to one event, one webinar, one networking event, see what happens, say yes to things, and see what people invite you to. Test it out, feel it out, and from there, you literally never know who you're going to meet and what doors could open for you. The thing with networking events, too, is I feel like if you were in a corporate job and you were ever sent to a corporate event by your company, you're probably rolling your eyes and you're like, oh my God, that is not how I want to meet adult friends, right? I remember some of the conferences I went to back in the day when I was selling software. I was like, my God, like they were fun because we had work off and we would stay at resorts and go out and drink and have fun, whatever. But like the actual people there, at the end of the day, we were salespeople and we were trying to schmooze with clients and get money. So it wasn't genuine, real friendships. You know what I mean? Like we were just trying to get some deals made. So now when I go to networking events, I'm obviously not in that place at all in my life. And I'm choosing to go to events where I'm like, I think these people and I are probably going to vibe because it's a creative event or it's a writing event or it's a book launch. Those are all fields of study and topics that I'm interested in. I have seen so many incredible friendships and relationships blossom from things like networking events, which, again, I just want to make this clear. This does not need to be like, I don't know, the Tech 101 conference. My God, imagine if that was a conference. Like, it doesn't need to be so boring and snooze fest. Think of like South by Southwest, full of creators and individuals and so many talented people and amazing people that go there. Imagine if you just went for one day, the type of people that you would meet. Or going to a podcast conference and meeting a bunch of amazing podcasters that you could collaborate with and then become friends. By the way, starting a podcast by itself is how I've met so many friends. Interviewing people. That could be a whole subject I'll talk about in a second. But networking events that you're choosing what you're interested in and knowing that there's usually time to mingle with people is such an easy setup, right? Everything's taken care of for you. It's called a networking event for a reason. You're not just meant to sit there and twiddle your thumbs and look down at your phone. They usually build the agendas to be able to meet people. So I think people are in a different energy when they're at a networking event. They're more open. They know if you're standing next to each other in line, like it's okay to just ask like, hey, where are you from? What brought you here? The energy is just a lot different than let's say if you were at a bar and you were just sitting there hoping to like strike up a conversation with someone, especially anything that's meaningful or deep. I think that's pretty hard to do at a bar when you have, you know, Jason Derulo blasting and you're drinking a vodka Sprite. I have done that many times in my 20s and didn't meet that many people out. No boyfriends, no friends. Like that just wasn't the move for me. Something I will say too that I think plays a big factor in this is that I massively scaled back on drinking this year. I was going pretty hard in the beginning of the year. I mean, you all know if you've listened to this podcast, I was going like balls to the wall in Argentina and Peru, clubbing, partying, drinking all the time. And it was just wearing down a lot of my body. I eventually started working with a health coach. We're doing a gut cleanse now. And it's just not interesting to me. Like I'm just in a period of my life where I'm like, I have a lot that I want to do and focus on. And just to be honest, rest and not feel like shit hungover that I have massively scaled back on drinking. And so because of that, I've had to find new ways to fill my time, right? The ways I used to find entertainment and like meet people was at bars, going out to bars, going out to happy hour, going to rooftop drinks. A lot of social events are centered around alcohol. So I realize you need to figure out something else you want to do. And thank God I have a lot of friends actually that don't drink or that just really scaled back as well. And people would be like, oh, why don't we go to a book launch or this creative event or this speaking panel? And I'm like, what? Like people do that in their free time? Like that's that's like an activity. And then I did that in New York so many times. And I'm like, this is fun. I went to something called Creative Mornings. Highly recommend you run and do not walk to that website. It is incredible. They have chapters all over the world. And as you can imagine, it's full of very cool creative people. So at that event, we met a few people. And then I even met a girl in the bathroom and she asked what podcasts I had. And then she DM'd me and then we started talking. Like, it's crazy. And again, I think the energy at those events is set up to meet and talk to people. So check out Creative Mornings. They also do online events. I just did one the other day. It was so much fun. They do them literally all the time and they're free. Hello. Like this is the easiest way in the world to meet online friends. And then I started going to book launches. I'd never been to a book launch in my life. Met so many cool people. Literally just met a girl at one. I'm about to maybe hire her. Like that was not part of the plan at all. Also, oh my God, I just remember this too. We all went to this book launch after party and I wasn't drinking, but there was a lot of fried food there and I was hungry. New York's expensive. A girl was trying to save some money and eat some of those free chicken tenders, but I knew it would make my stomach upset. So I walk over, get my digestive enzymes to prep my little tummy to digest this food. And this girl comes over and I swear she was also taking digestive enzymes. And I just was like, no, there's no way. And I was like popping this bag of pills out and I was just like, sorry, I have to take these enzymes. Like, it's really weird. And she was like, wait, no, that's what I'm doing too. Like, there's a bunch of fried food here and I have to take enzymes. I'm like, are you serious? Like, we just bonded over digestive enzymes. We talked all night. We became friends. She came to the Creative Morning panel with me. We ended up talking the rest of the weekend. She invited me to Ibiza to a book launch. I'm like, what is going on? Like, this is what I mean. The power of one conversation and just being in an environment that is set up to talk to people, you can instantly make friends. I think that's truly one of the easiest ways. Like, if I didn't have a lot of friends from high school or college, this is what I would be doing, is just going to these really fun creative events and speaking panels and networking events. Now, I will say some networking events don't turn out the way you want them to, right? Some of them are very like corporate and snoozy. So just do your research, right? Like, go stalk their pictures and their photo galleries from years past. What are the panels? Like, what are they talking about? The one I went to in New York City was about storytelling. Hello. Couldn't have been better for me. Love storytelling. It's what I studied. It's what I want to teach and learn about for the rest of my life. So going to it and knowing that there were, what, like 100 other people there interested in the same thing was wild. So highly, highly recommend going to really fun networking events, creative events, book launches. If you can't make it physically because you don't live by one, go online. A lot of these live stream, actually that Creative Morning one that I'm talking about in New York City, they actually did a live stream. So there are a bunch of people online watching it that I'm assuming connected in the Zoom chat and maybe even connected offline. That's another thing. If you're going to meet people online and you want to genuinely make friends, think about it this way. Friendships are a two-way street and a dynamic that requires two people to engage. So if you're not really initiating anything, or if someone's asking you a question and you're not that engaging and you're not giving them anything to work with, in my opinion, it's going to be really hard to make a friendship or even sustain one if you do create it. So when you're on Zoom and you're maybe, you know, you joined a course and you're like, I'm assuming everyone on here is clearly into the same thing as me because we're all trying to learn the same thing. Be active in the chat. Compliment people. Hype them up. Right. I used to do this in a membership I was in. They would do these brainstorming sessions every Friday. And I would always make sure that I would ask a question because I knew that I wanted people's feedback and I wanted to connect with people. And if, let's say, I didn't have a question that week, I would just make sure to be really active in the chat and encourage people and like hype them up. And then people would DM me after that or email me and be like, hey, oh my God, I'm so glad you feel the same way. Or like, thank you so much. That actually helped me. I'm very intentional about that. Like, I would never pay for a course or something and then just be video off, muted, not engaging in the chat, not listening and learning and connecting with people. Like, to me, I would just rather buy the replay if I'm going to do that, right? There's no need for me to be live. However, my personal energy is I like to be live and active in the chat. So that's a really easy way to meet people, is just connecting in the chat, hyping people up and being active when people ask you questions or putting yourself out there. Which brings me to my last point, and that is putting yourself out there. Something that I was very cognizant and intentional about doing in New York City was making myself more visible and putting myself out there. So what I mean by that is when I went to the book launch, they asked if anyone had questions. Liz Tran was the book launch we went to, by the way, and she was on my podcast. And I saw that there were probably 100 plus people in that room. And I knew I wanted to connect with some of them because I knew if they're here supporting Liz and reading this book, then we're all clearly on the same page and have some type of similar vibe. So I made sure to ask a question and said my name in the microphone so that people knew. So if they wanted to come talk to me after, we could connect. That worked. I ended up talking to a girl after that. And then that's what got me the invite to the book launch after party. The book launch after party is where I met the other girl. And that girl invited me to the book launch in Ibiza, right? So that to me proved that my experiment of putting myself out there actually worked. When I went to the Creative Mornings event in New York City, again, they asked, does anyone have questions? And you know who was one of the first people to shoot their hands up? Chelsea Rife. So I raised my hand and I asked a question. The first thing I said was my name. And then I realized, let me shout out my podcast just so people can listen and connect with me if they want. And you know, a little promo, never a bad thing. And then that's when a girl connected me in the bathroom. And now we're emailing and now we are literally in touch. So I made sure every single event that I went to that I was somehow visible and putting myself out there to be open to connect with people. That was not by accident. That's not something that like someone just fell and the microphone ended up in my hand. I knew that that was a goal of mine, was to connect with people in different communities. And so that's what I set out to do. Something I will say too about friendships is they come at different levels and different stages, at least in my experience. So for example, like when I was in high school and college, the friends that I had at those times, we talked all the time, right? We're hanging out every day. We're doing everything together. We're going to every event together. We're planning constantly. We're like a little family, just constantly traveling with each other and doing fun things and never out of touch. Then when I moved and I left, especially when I got a job and all of us got jobs, we all had more work to do. We had more literally work at, we weren't in college anymore with like four classes and then 20 million hours off just partying. We had real jobs. So then the communication dissipated a little bit. And then some people got married and then they moved to a different state and they bought a house and now they have two kids and a dog and different responsibilities. And so we don't talk the same way we used to in college, but that doesn't mean we don't talk. Last time I was home, I made it a point to go visit them and meet all their children and go see their beautiful houses that they bought and at least try to squeeze in a lunch so we could all catch up. So going back to putting yourself out there and this being a two-way dynamic, I really do try my hardest to see people when I can and make an effort to show that like I'm still invested in the relationship. Do I nail this 10 out of 10 times? No. I'm sure there's people listening to this that are like, oh, you haven't been the best friend to me. Yeah, there's times where I'm like, wow, I really should have done a better job of like just being more part of that person's life, right? I wish I would have FaceTimed them when they told me they were engaged, but instead I just texted them. And I wish I maybe would have sent a baby shower gift, but I didn't for whatever reason. I got too busy, right? Like I'm definitely working on it. And this is part of just growing up is you start to realize what your priorities are and how much you want to invest into them. And again, as I get older, like friendships and relationships really are such a big piece of my life. There's also some friendships that we don't need to be in touch all the time. We just know like when we catch up again, we will catch up and pick up right where we left off. And we are not going to take it personal that we haven't been talking every single week, day, or month. I have a friend like that we met in Australia. This was 3 years ago. Okay. I lived in Australia from 2019 to 2020. We're more than halfway through the year of 2023. And I have not actually physically seen her since I left Australia. And every few months, we go on these voice note rants, like mini podcasts, and just fully update each other. What's going on with work, men, health, mental health, family. Like, we just fully catch up through the voice notes, and we have these little check-ins, and then we don't talk for another few months, and then we pick right back where we left off. I don't make that mean anything about how meaningful our friendship is. I don't think she's a bad friend. I don't think I'm a bad friend. To be honest, if we saw each other in person, we would probably be at lunch right after this podcast recording, but we just don't live in the same place. The same thing is true when you are in certain places as well, is like sometimes when you meet people, you're at a different stage of your life than when you see them again. And this is true for an example of my college friends. Who I was in college is vastly different than who I am right now. I was a party girl in college. I mean, I blacked out 3 times a week. I'm not even being facetious. Like, I genuinely blacked out, partied so hard, was like kind of a goofy clown energy, just not taking anything that seriously in terms of like social life. I mean, off the walls, insane, to be honest. As I grew older, and especially when I moved to Australia, things changed. Like, I started to take my health more seriously. I started to become incredibly spiritual. I started my own business, just things that I was not doing when I was 21. And so my personality changed a lot. My beliefs changed. How I operated and viewed the world changed. And sometimes that means that your friends and you don't see eye to eye anymore on certain things. And that's okay. And that's when you decide, like, what investment level am I going to put into this friendship? I've had another friend where we have completely different political beliefs and religious beliefs. And this is for you to figure out whatever works for you. This friend and I have known each other for so long, we basically just came to agreement, like, we need to keep that out of our relationship if we're going to be friends and just focus on the things that we love about each other and we do connect on, but we no longer can bring up these certain topics when we're together because we know how triggering they are. Now, that was a much bigger conversation. There were a lot of ups and downs with that, a lot of direct communication. I mean, that wasn't like an easy, quick phone call or text message at all. And that's what I'm saying about friendships is it's a lot like romantic relationships or what I imagine when you get married. When you get married, life doesn't change and all of a sudden you're living in Narnia fantasy land. Like, you still have really tough conversations and you have to get on the same page over and over again for the rest of your life. You're constantly communicating. That's how I view friendships. And going back to the college example too, that doesn't mean I need to throw all those friendships in the trash. And to be fully candid with you, when I was going through like a really big spiritual awakening, I actually thought that because that's a lot of the messaging we hear is like, let go of anyone in your life who doesn't serve you, cut people out of your life and you'll feel lighter. And anyone that isn't there for your highest vision, you need to just kick to the curb. I'm like, what are we talking about? Like, that just didn't make sense to me, because if I were to actually operate under that belief, that would mean pretty much all my friendships from when I was a child up until I graduated college would be out of my life, because not many people from those periods of my life are in the position I'm in, right? They're not a digital nomad. They're not as spiritual. They don't run a business, right? There's just a lot of like common things we do not connect on anymore. But through therapy and even my mom explaining this, she kind of explained it like a bookshelf. You know, when you're done reading a book, you usually don't put it right back in its original spot. You want something to be more visible. So then you get another book and it takes its spot. Or just think of it as a bookshelf. Like, some people go off the main shelf and go to the bottom shelf, and some people go to the top. It doesn't mean they are disappearing from the bookshelf. They're just in a different position. And then you know, okay, yeah, I'm going to put more investment into this, or I'm not. And it's just one of those friendships. When we see each other, we do. And that does not make you a bad friend. So if you want to stay in touch with people from your past, but you are on a different page than you were when you first started your friendship, try to go back to what you connected on before and find those strengths. So for example, when I go to see all my friends that have 3 kids and a dog and a house, which is nowhere close to where I'm at or even really what I want, I know that that's things that they value and that they like. So that's what we talk about. Like, we talk about their school and their kids and what it's been like and how to juggle all this and being a new mom. Like, I know that's what they're interested in, and vice versa. They'll ask me about travel and what it's like traveling, because those are things I value. We don't need to be like, oh, we have nothing to connect on anymore, no longer friends. We just, again, work out our differences and say, okay, these are things we can connect on. So your friendship levels are allowed to change. You're allowed to change. And by the way, if there are people that are truly just holding you back, negative Nancy's, not supportive for you, jealous, always cutting you down, yeah, those people need to go. And that's a whole different episode, right? I know you can use your intuition and discern that, but this is an episode about making friends and sustaining your friendships. So that's it for today. I would love to know what you think of this episode and this was helpful. If you have questions about making friends or sustaining those relationships, shoot me a DM on Instagram. Tag me in your Instagram stories at Chelsea Reif. Let me know what your favorite part of the episode was. And as a special thank you, anyone who leaves a review this month, I'm going to enter you into a pool to win a 20-minute laser coaching session with me. So if you want to start a podcast, grow it, monetize it, or just need creative content strategy help, I am here for you. So again, go to Apple Podcasts, leave a review, take a screenshot, and then send that to info@chelseareif.com or at Chelsea Reif on Instagram, and you will be entered into the giveaway to win a 20-minute one-on-one session with me, which I am so excited to help you with. All right. Let me know what you think of this episode. I love talking about this stuff, and I can't wait to hear more from you. See you in the next episode.